Amen. God's moving, ain't he? God will work if we'll let him. Amen. All right, we're going to talk about that actually a little bit. I want you to raise your hand if you think that you can disappoint God. Raise your hand if you think you can disappoint God. All right, raise your hand if you don't think you can disappoint God. Tracy's all alone. Tracy's like, Dustin, did you have your hand up? By the way, Megan, I don't think you was in here. Was you in here when Dustin testified? Okay, there's going to be a lot of people with bad knees asking you to pray for them. Just want to let you know, they have a prayer line. They go turn around and say, Megan, come here and pray for my knees. God is good. So I was reading an article, and that was kind of the birth of this sermon. And the article started out by saying, you cannot disappoint God. Let me read you. Look, you cannot disappoint God. Let me say that one more time. You, this was in bold, cannot disappoint God. And it says, right now, you're either breathing a sigh of relief or you're thinking, I don't know what in the world I'm talking about. But disappointing God is a lie, we believe, that can cause us to move away from God. Our upbringing and life experiences has a pretty big impact on our thought life. If we grew up feeling like we were disappointing our parents or other people in our life, we relate the other relationships that we had with God. Goes on to say, take a good look at the definition of disappoint. To disappoint, let me find this definition real quick. It means each time the word is used in Scripture, it says it's promising. We will not be disappointed when we believe or put our hope in God. Disappointing someone means your failure has kept them from realizing their plans. So the article goes to say that we can't disappoint God because we can't stop the plan of God. When you're disappointed in somebody, has anybody ever been disappointed in your spouse? Tracy, don't raise your hand this time. Keep your hand down. Has anybody ever been disappointed in their kids? Young people, have you ever been disappointed in your parents? Grandparents? So we disappoint each other, right? Because you expect somebody to do a certain thing, and when they don't do that, you can become disappointed. A fellow that I know went to India to work, and he would send these videos of the driving over there in India. And it is crazy. Like, he was on the back of this little moped motorcycle thing, and this guy is driving him. And there's, like, no rhyme or reason to which way they're going. And you just keep hearing, meh, 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 meh. And, like, this guy's just going, and there's people coming at him, and there's people shooting this way and shooting that way. I mean, they're going everywhere. And to watch this video actually made my nerves a little bit bad. It's just like, man. And so I started looking, and they say that countries that have those kind of road systems have less accidents than we do in the United States. And you say, how could that be? I'm going to tell you why. Because we have rules to drive by. We expect people to abide by the rules. When they don't abide by the rules, it takes over there, they know there are no rules. So everybody's looking out for everybody. I mean, it's let's be honest. If you're going down the road and somebody comes over in your lane, what do you do? don't tell me. Don't tell me. How does that make you feel? When somebody comes over, yeah, you blow your horn. Yeah, beep, beep, beep. Hey, watch out, buddy. Sometimes if they cut you off, you blow it differently. It's like it makes the same sound, but there's different emotion with it. And because they're not doing what you expect them to do. So this is what happens when we get disappointed. When we get disappointed, we're expecting. So the article goes on to say, and then it got really, 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 I don't want to say, it got really liberal. To where it was almost like God's never upset with you. God never has a problem with you. And Robin had sent a song, And me and Aaron and I were talking about it with her, and she's like, do we believe this? And the song started out, and it said, he only looks at me with pride. Is that how, was that the wording? He only looks at me with pride. Do you think God only looks at you with pride? No? No, right? Because here's the issue. Has anybody ever had God chasing them? Anybody? Anybody ever had a whipping from God? Anybody ever had an issue where God? Okay, I'm not sure, but every time that I have either disciplined my child, I didn't go in there going, I'm so proud of you. You're getting ready to get in big trouble, but know that Dad's proud. No, I don't know that you could keep that. So anyway, we had this conversation. Here's the issue. What I want to talk to you about is something a little deeper than this, because the Bible is very clear that there are some things that we can do that hinders the will of God in our life. Amen. Now, there are people that believe this, Doug. They believe that the will of God is going to happen no matter what. You can't stop it. You can't change it. You can't do anything about it. It's God's will. It's going to happen down to the last little bit. Okay, here's my verse. 2 Peter 3:8-9. You don't have to stand because I got a lot of verses. 2 Peter 3:8-9. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing. This one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. That's an interesting verse. I have no comment on it. But anyway, the Lord, verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward. Watch this next part. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So is it safe for me to say that it is the will of God that everybody be saved? It's the will of God that nobody perish. Are there people perishing? Are there people that are dying unsaved? So is it safe for me to say that God's will is not taking place in everybody's life? So when you read this, we see that we say, well, God's got it. There is a broad picture. You read it in Scripture. There are some things that you will not change. If God said it, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. But I want to talk to you as an individual today, because God wants to do something in you. If you're here tonight and you're lost, it's not God's will that you perish. If you're here and you're lost, it's not God's will. It is not His desire for you to experience eternal damnation. That is not God's desire. God is not this parent that's looking at you and wants to beat you up over everything. That's not what His desire is, that you come to repentance. We know that repentance is a turning to Him. Repentance is turning to Him. And that's His desire, that all men would come to repentance. But you that are saved, God wants to do something more in your life. There's salvation and there's sanctification. And Brother Eddie, I really believe that the church, through years past, has jumbled them both together and looked at some people on different levels of sanctification and labeled them as salvation or no salvation. I believe that there are people, there are 30-fold, there's 60-fold, there's 100-fold. Listen, not everybody in this room is as spiritual as you. And the great thing about that is some people are more spiritual than you. We're not all on the same plane. We're not all walking on the same level. The truth is, if you've been saved for 5 years and somebody that just started is more spiritual than you, then you've messed up somewhere. Because we should be growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He didn't call you to come to an altar and that's the finish line, Brother Eddie. It never was God's intent for that to be the pinnacle of it all. But no, that's the starting point. That's the beginning. That's how you get in the race. And there is a race. There is a struggle, and there is a goal. And in that goal, I want to ask you tonight, where are you at? Where are you at in your goal with Jesus? Do you have a plan? Do you have a destination? It does you no good. It does you absolutely no good to have a gun and if it's not sighted in. If it doesn't have a goal and if there's no way to aim it, what's the use in having it? You can have all of that power and you can have all of that potential, but unless you've got a scope and you've got a goal that you're looking for, then there's no use to having the power. But God has called you and he's called you to be more than just hey, I'm saved and I'm going to sit here and rest. Listen, I am very thankful for where Jesus has brought me from. I am very thankful for him saving my soul. I am very thankful for what he delivered me from. You got to understand, man, I was a mess and he saved me from that mess. But even though I'm thankful, I'm not satisfied. There's got to be something more than just getting to the starting line, but there's a race to run, and in this race there's a world that can be won, and that world can be won through me. Doug, it's kind of interesting to hear your testimony, because sometimes when there's been times, man, I'm a preacher. I holler at y'all all the time. I've been doing it for 27 years, preaching the gospel. And I don't know why it is, but there are some people that are harder to open up a conversation with than others. And sometimes I don't think it's them. I think it's me. I have a guy at work, and he's a unique fella. He's a really unique fella, and his language was horrible. I mean, horrible, horrible. Some of y'all just couldn't even make it around him. Your head would explode. And somebody said, "Hey, preacher, come here and do this." And he walked over and he said, "Why they call that guy a preacher?" And that boy said, "'Cause he's a preacher." He said, "Oh, for real? He's a preacher?" His language has totally changed. He's like following me around now. "Hey, preacher, what do you want to do? Hey, preacher, hey, preacher." I'm like, get away from me, man. He was a professional boxer. And he's always looking at me going, he's like 62 years old. He said, "Jump up here, boy." He said, "Jump up here and let's go a few rounds." I said, "Do you really want to?" He said, "Nah, my knees hurt." I said, "If I jump, every morning, your knees hurting." He said, "Come on, preacher, let's do it. So he kept coming over. And I've been waiting for the opportunity, and he's just standing there. And he started talking about he's going to open up his gym, and he's going to do it. And I looked at him, and I said, "Hey, man, let me ask you a question." He said, "What's that?" I said, "What's your take on everything?" "What do you mean, everything? Why are we here? Is there a God? Do you believe there's a God?" Yeah, I believe there's a God." I said, "You do?" He said, yeah. I said, "You ever went to church?" "Man, I did. I did when I was young, yeah. I went to church when I was young." I said, "Why don't you come to church with me one Sunday?" I said, "And after church, we'll go get us something to eat." Yeah, man. "But, man, I tell you, I really want to get that gym started." He got off the subject quick as possible. Doesn't matter. Man, I know what God's called me to do, and I'm going to plant seed. Anytime you get a chance, man, plant seed. Now, there's going to be times in your life you don't feel like doing that. There's going to be times when people intimidate you. I don't know why some people are intimidating. I don't know why some people come across as, you're like, "Man, I don't know about this guy. I don't know." Y'all know what I'm talking about? Am I the only one? Like, some people are just like, hey, you can just tell them. And other people, you're like, I don't know. It doesn't matter. Because the key thing is, man, you really need to be that person that God's called you to be. All right, watch this. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 22. Rejoice. What's that next word? Evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Don't go to the next one. I want you to watch this. What's the will of God for my life? I really would like to know the will of God for my life. Preacher, can you help me realize the will of God for my life? In everything, give thanks, For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So what is the will of God for my life? To give thanks. To give thanks. We should be the most thankful people on the planet. We should be the most thankful people that ever walked the face of this earth. Why should we be thankful? Because we know where we were and we know where we are. When I think of where I'm going in terms of where I've been, it makes me glad to know I've been born again. It's the will of God to give thanks. All right, here's watch this. Quench not the spirit. Quench not the spirit. So the article says you cannot disappoint God because God's plans will always be realized. What is this verse telling me? He's saying, quench not the spirit. You know what that means to me? The spirit wants to do some things. The spirit wants to touch lives. The spirit wants to move through you. And this command is telling us very clearly, don't quench that. Because, oh man, do we understand the power that we have in us? If you have the Holy Ghost, if you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you, you are a walking dynamite machine. You've got things in you. When you walk into the room, the atmosphere ought to change because you've got something on the inside of you greater than this world will ever realize. And he said, don't quench that. Don't quench that. Oh, quench. Watch this. What does quench mean? Quench means to extinguish a fire or things on fire. To be quenched is to go out, to diminish. He's saying, don't let the spirit diminish in your life. Don't quench the spirit. We've all quenched the spirit before. Sometimes it's because we're nervous. Sometimes it's because we're shy. Sometimes it's because we're lazy. Sometimes, there's a lot of reasons why we quench the spirit. And we've got a lot of excuses. We can come up with tons of excuses of why we didn't. But God's not looking for a person that can explain why they didn't. God's looking for a person that will do it. Let the spirit flow through them. Can you imagine on the day of Pentecost, if Peter would have quenched the spirit, there would be 3,000 people that wouldn't have heard the sermon that he opened up and let God move through him. How much more can God do through you? Watch this. Despise not prophesying. Despise not prophesying. What's he telling us? He's saying there's some gifts. Don't despise those gifts. Listen, people, I have been tempted to despise prophesying in my life. People flooded me with it. Oh, no, but I guess y'all didn't go to the same kind of church I went to. I literally was praying for an answer from God, and I went to church believing I was going to get my answer, and somebody came by and laid hands on me, and they didn't know I was praying, and they said, your answer's yes. Right. Right. It wasn't a few minutes later, somebody came behind them and laid their hand on me and said, God said your answer's no. Well, well, well. I concluded it was up to me. You better not let it be up to you. There were times when I was tempted to say, hey, this stuff, man, it's, Nah, I got a more sure word of prophecy. He said, don't despise it. Don't despise it. Because let me tell you what God will do. God will send somebody to you to speak a word into your life. And if you're not ready, you'll quench it. You'll despise it. And you won't hear the voice of God. You say, well, if God wanted to speak to me, he would speak to me. And that's true. You better get a hold of God. But you also better be ready, because God's got people when you ain't listening. And they're going to come and say something to you. Don't despise that. Don't despise that. Listen, listen, and don't take it all as the gospel. I know people that if they listened to all the prophecy, they'd be in a mess. Amen. They'd be in a mess. You need to make sure. Brother Eddie, is this good teaching right now? You need to make sure. Because, boy, oh, Lord. Anyway, verse 21, prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Do you notice what he's saying here? He's saying, hold fast that which is good. You're going to hear some things. And some of it's going to be crazy. And some of it's going to be good. He said, hold fast that which is good. Take the good. Take the good and hold on to that. Watch verse 22. Abstain from all appearances of evil. All right, listen to this. The Bible says, I will set no evil thing before my eyes. That's tough. That's tough. But you know what? We need to make a covenant with our eyes. Why? Because the eye is the light of the body. And if your eye be single, that don't mean if you're a cyclops. No, what that means is if your focus is on the right thing, if your focus is right, then the whole body is full of light. Amen? Because I really believe this. Good to see the young people back on the back row. Listen to me. I believe if you're watching the wrong thing, you'll quench the spirit. I believe if we're looking at the wrong thing, Doug, we'll quench the spirit. What do you mean, quench? I believe that we will lose the effectiveness of the spirit in our life. God's not going to use an unclean vessel. It's why, but the spirit, watch this. It's the spirit of truth. It's the spirit of truth. And the spirit of truth is this. The spirit of truth don't lie. Oh, can I get on this for a minute? If you lie, that's not the spirit of truth. Well, it's just a little tiny lie. It's a Republican lie, not a Democrat lie. They're different. You better be careful telling half-truths. You might tell the wrong half. Well, I mean, it was just a little lie, just a little lie. I mean, you know, I can't expect me to get it right every time. Tell what the spirit is. The spirit's the spirit of truth. When you lie, you quench the spirit. Look at the person beside you and say, stop lying. Not look at him, but look at the other person on the other side that you don't like much. Because you turn to the other one first. Look at the other person and say, don't lie. Look at the person in front of you that you just tolerate sitting behind them. Tell them, don't lie. And I know what you're thinking. I know exactly what you're thinking. You're thinking, you're talking about, well, I'm not going to lie on my taxes and I'm not going to lie. No, you got to stop lying to yourself. If you got the spirit of truth, and if the spirit of truth says, greater is he that is in you, you got to stop lying and saying, oh, I can't make it. You got to stop lying to yourself and saying, I don't have enough. I'm struggling. He said, let the weak say that they're strong. And the spirit of truth says, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. You got to start speaking the truth. Don't quench the spirit. Oh, man, look at the person beside you and say, man, you're one bad hombre. Do you realize the power that is within you? You got to start talking it. Don't quench the Spirit. The Spirit wants to talk. You get up in the morning and you say, hey, I know I'll win today because greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. I know that all things are possible through Christ. I know I got Jesus on the inside. Stop lying. Was that your devotion that said it's going to be a good day? Is your devotion? All right. Make sure it wasn't your horoscope. I was going to preach on you. You said my thing, and I was a little nervous over there. You know what you need to do in the morning? You need to get up and say, I'm a son of God, and I'm going to have a good day. Man, I'm telling you. You need to get up in the morning and you say, you know what? I got the word of God abiding in me, and I'm going to be contagious with it, and I'm going to share it with somebody. I'm not quenching the Spirit anymore. I don't care what the world thinks about me. I care what Jesus thinks about me. I love them. I got something for them. If they reject me, they reject him, but I'm going to give it to them because I got it on the inside, and I'm going to spread it around. Oh, we used to sing a song. It said, fire, fire in my bone. I got fire in my bone. Holy Ghost fire in my bone. I got fire in my bone. Yes, come on. Don't extinguish it. Man, I got more. How much time do I got? How long was that? Watch this. Don't quench it. Don't extinguish it. 1 Timothy 4:14. Paul was writing to a young man in the gospel. Listen up, young men. Listen up, young women as well. By the way, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous woman avails much too. Oh, Brother Dustin is a male chauvinist. Watch this. Neglect not the gift that is in thee. Have you been neglecting the gift that is in you? Because if you're neglecting the gift, you're quenching the Spirit. How do you neglect the gift? How do you neglect the gift? I'm getting ready to tell you. Don't extinguish it. He said, don't neglect it. Don't neglect the gift. What gift is he talking about? Is he talking about prophecy? Is he talking about wisdom? He tells him, which was given to thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the. Do you know what that is? That at that time was a group of old dudes. It was the older fellas. Oh. They laid their hands on him and gave it to him. You cannot give what you do not have. Oh, let me say that again. You cannot give what you do not have. If you don't have the Spirit, you can't lay hands on people to receive the Spirit. But man, if you got it, if you really got it, man, he's asking us, give it away. Give it away. Don't keep it on. Oh, it's just such a blessing. I just love the Spirit. It gives me chill bumps in church. And it just, woo! Man, do you feel it? Do you feel it? That's not the purpose of the Spirit. Even though, hey, listen, it's good to feel what you're going on. But you can't go on what you feel. He said, don't neglect it. Don't neglect. Don't neglect it. Neglect not the gift that is in you. He's talking about the Spirit of God is in him. Don't neglect it. Has anybody in here ever been neglected? Have you ever neglected your dog? Raise your hand if you have ever neglected a pet. Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Raise your hand. I know. Look at y'all. Look at y'all. No, not me, preacher. Ian, why aren't you raising your hand? Didn't he have a fish to die one time, Tracy? Because envy. Poor little thing was hungry. Do you not, have you ever neglected your pet and felt really bad? How much worse should we be convicted if we neglect the Spirit of God in our life? How much, man, don't neglect it. What's the opposite of this? Because here's what we do a lot of times in church. We tell people what not to do. It's been that way since I was a kid. What must I do to be saved? Stop this, 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 that's a lot. And I've tried to quit this, this, not that, that was great. This, 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 I've tried. I've tried. You know what the problem was? I couldn't quit any of it. And even if I did, do you understand? If an alcoholic quits drinking, he's still a lost, sober sinner. He's sober, but he's still a sinner. You can quit drinking and not go to heaven. Man, they had a list. I've went to churches before in my life that had this stuff posted on the wall. I'm serious. They had it on the wall as decoration. No cussing, no chewing, no dipping, no smoking. They had it. Anybody? No? Yeah, look at Darren's been there. Eddie, Angie, Doug. Look at that. They've been there. I was like, they really wrote it on the wall in Sharpie. You know what's scary about that? Is some people think that's what they needed to do to be saved. You can quit everything they had on the wall and go to hell. But let me tell you what you can't do. You can't get Jesus on the inside of you and go to hell. You can't get full of the Spirit and go to hell. You can't do it. Here we go. So I'm not just going to tell you what not to do. Don't neglect the gift. Don't neglect the gift. Do not neglect the gift. You know what? When it's your prayer time, pray. When it's your fasting time, fast. I got more amens on. When it's your time to study, study. When you got a time to be with Jesus, be with Jesus. As a matter of fact, he said, pray without ceasing. Pray all day long. Pray all the time. Nikki Joe, I've been driving down the road before with your grandpa, and you hit a bump. This is the truth. You hit a bump, and the car would go like this, and he'd go, oh. Jesus, Jesus, oh God, oh Jesus, oh, he'd just take off into a prayer. Let me tell you when's a good time to pray, when there's bumps. Let me tell you when there's a good time to pray, when there ain't no bumps. Let me tell you when there's a good time to talk to Jesus all the time. Some of you young people in school, stop praying just at test time. God, please let me pass this test. See you next semester. We used to pray at football games. God, please let us win. God, please let us win. And one day, I was a heathen praying. I had no relationship with God, but I was like, Lord, please let us beat them. We hate them. God, we hate them. Like, this is, hey, never mind. Lord, just let's beat them. Lord, help us beat Shady. Lord, just help us. We don't care. Anybody else, just help us. But then I got to thinking, what happens if there's some kids over at Shady going, Lord, we hate them. Lord, please help us beat them. Did y'all, that ever occur to y'all that there may be people on the other side praying too? I did some chaplain work for a football team, and they asked me to pray before. And I prayed for everybody's safety, and I said, God, pray for our effectiveness. Let them pray for their own. Kids were like, I like it. I like it. We're all, yeah, I like it. Man, when's a good time to pray? All the time. All the time. Don't quench the Spirit. Don't neglect the Spirit. All right, 1 Timothy, or 2 Timothy 1 and 6. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance. Here he goes again. I want to remind you. that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of, wait, whose hands? So he was part of the old dudes that prayed for him. He said, man, I prayed for you. You received the Spirit. He said, don't neglect it. That's what not to do. Let me tell you what to do. Stir up the gift. Stir up the gift. I'm going to take flack for this, but it's okay. I'm used to it. The NIV says it like this. Fan the flame. Fan the flame. But if you study your King James and you look up the word stir up, that's what it means, to kindle a fire. So he said, so quench means to extinguish. He's saying, don't quench it. Don't extinguish it. Let me tell you what to do. Fan the flame. Fan the flame. Fan the flame. Everybody knows that if you're going to keep a fire, sometimes you got to stir down in it and get those embers to get stirred up again. And when those things get stirred up, there's a fire that'll ignite. Are you listening to me? Don't neglect it. And don't just not neglect it. Start stirring it up. You got to get passionate about the Spirit of God moving in your life. What are you passionate about? What are you passionate about? I've seen people passionate about crossword puzzles. I choose to put my passion in a different place. I've seen people passionate about bingo. They don't miss a service. They don't call it services, I don't guess. I'm going to be there. It's bingo night. I don't care what happened. Grandma, it's snowing. I don't care. I'm going to bingo. What are you passionate about? What is going on in your life that gets you stirred up? Well, preacher, it's my in-laws. They really stir me up. No, I'm talking about deeper. What's going on? What are you passionate about? Man, if there's a subject that you need to be passionate about, it's Jesus. You need to be passionate about Jesus. Fan the flame. Fan the flame. Let the wind blow. Because when the wind, sometimes, let's be honest, we get cold. We get cold. Thomas said it. We come to church. But before we get here, we're looking for reasons not to come. Well, you know, I did sneeze this morning. And I really don't want to spread it around. Well, you know, some people don't mask it. Some people will just tell you, hey, where was you at Wednesday? I didn't want to come. I appreciate your honesty, but I don't appreciate your passion. Thank you for being honest to me. But man, what are you passionate about? He said, stir that up. Stir it up. Do you know there are subjects that get certain people stirred up? Come on, musicians. Hey, we had a teacher in junior high that if you didn't want to do anything the whole class period, all you had to do is say, I really believe that blood is blue, not red. And that older lady would get tore up. And she'd say, blood is not blue, and I'll explain to you why. And you got to sit there and listen to it forever. You had to use it strategically. You couldn't do it all the time. She caught on. You say, Miss Wood, are you sure blood ain't blue? We're not doing that today. Month later, bring it up. It's not blue. Here we go again. Man, you can push people's buttons. You can get them stirred up. You know what I'm looking for, Sister Mona? People that I get around and start talking about Jesus, and man, they start getting stirred up. There's a flame. The prophet said it like this. I'm not preaching anymore. I'm not even saying it anymore. I'm not making mention of his name anymore. I'm done with it. Then all of a sudden, I'm paraphrasing, speculating. But I hear him go, what's wrong, Jeremiah? Man, I feel something. I feel something. What is it, Jeremiah? It feels like fire. It feels like fire shut up in my bones. The problem is I've tried to extinguish it, but man, it's in there. And if it's in there, let me tell you, you ought to let it out. You got to stop quenching it. That's hard to say. You got to stop quenching it. You got to stop grieving the spirit. So can you disappoint God? I know you can quench him, and I know you can grieve him. I said, I know you can grieve the spirit. If anybody has experienced grief, you know what grief is. Don't grieve the spirit. I want to do something through you. I want to touch people through you. And we get caught up on something that doesn't even matter. One day, Angie, I'm going to stand before Jesus. I'm going to look at the one that died for me. I'm going to look at the one who paid the price for me. And I don't care how much I've done in this life. I can't help but think. I'm going to say, man, I wish I'd have done more. I wish I'd have done more. Stir it up. Stir it up. Fan the flame. Fan the flame. I'm tired. You're going to be tired anyway. But man, when God starts moving in your life, somebody be my witness. The joy of the Lord becomes your strength. Aunt Mary was old. She came in church on a cane. They tricked me. She looked frail. She looked feeble. She got anointed. She was like supernatural power. They said, go get Aunt Mary to pray for you. I went over there and I said, Aunt Mary, I need an answer from the Lord. Will you pray for me? Man, she got a hold of me. She threw me around. I was like, man, glory, Aunt Mary. Where'd you get this power from? The joy of the Lord becomes your strength. Eddie, have you ever stepped in a pulpit hurting and came out doing better? Man, there's something about it. The joy of the Lord becomes your strength. Are you going to commit? It's a commitment, whether you feel like it or not. Do you want to stir up the gift? As they sing the song, here's how we're going to work this. If God spoke to your heart tonight, I want you to come up here and let me pray for you. They looked at me today and they said, when do you have time to prepare your sermons? I said, man, all different times. Every chance I get. And then sometimes, I'm going to be honest, I come to church and I'm like, Jesus, you better say something, because if you don't say it, you probably ain't going to get said. Usually that's when I preach out of Psalms. You can always preach a psalm. Man, God will move through you if you let him. Hey, good job Sunday. Good job Sunday. Y'all agree? Good job tonight, man. Good job. Good job. I'll tell you what the devil's going to try to do. He's going to try to stop that. Better get ready. But boy, what happens when you're stirred up? Even chihuahuas are scary when they're fired up. Y'all know that's true. I've worked in people's houses before, and that little thing, you're like, oh. Getting ready to punt this thing. Get fired up. If you need prayer tonight, I want you to come up here and let us pray for you. Because, man, I believe what I got is contagious. I believe what I got is contagious. Come on, Aaron, sing. I can't stop talking.